The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I'm very, very pleased that you are here with me today. We've got kind of an unusual show, a different kind of guest compared to the people I usually bring to you in studio today, but we'll get to that in just a moment. Of course, I know you've been anxiously awaiting all week long for your quotes of the day from the universe and from Abraham. Let's see what the universe and Abraham have in store for us today. First, from the universe. It isn't easy at first, but one of the greatest gifts you could ever give someone who makes your heart soar is the freedom to learn their own lessons at their own pace. Even trickier is discovering that one of the greatest gifts you could ever give someone who gets on your nerves is the freedom to learn their own lessons at their own pace. And perhaps most challenging of all is understanding that one of the greatest gifts you could ever give yourself is the realization that your heart soaring and your nerves fraying have never been dependent upon other people and their lessons. Tally-ho, the universe. Ah, we love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the universe. Kind of an interesting quote this week, reminding us that, you know, everybody's journey is their journey. And as much as we love to fix people and help people and show them the way, that nobody learns anything that they're not prepared to learn. And, you know, everybody has their own process. Everybody has their own way of development, their own journey in their life. And their journey is not dictated by us. It's not going to be rushed along. It's not going to happen any quicker or any slower than exactly the way it's supposed to. And let's see what Abraham has in store for us. Wellness that is being allowed or the wellness that is being denied is all about the mindset, the mood, the attitude, the practiced thoughts. There is not one exception in any human or beast, because you can patch them up again and again and they will just find another way of reverting back to the natural rhythm of their mind. Treating the body really is about treating the mind. It's all psychosomatic. Every bit of it. No exceptions. Abraham. Very interesting. Two very aligned quotes from two very different sources that really talk about the mindset, the attitude, kind of where people are. And it's so interesting that, you know, we think we can get people to change. We think we can help people. But again, nobody is going to change. Nobody is going to evolve any quicker than they're ready to evolve. And that really is all an internal job. It really is. I mean, you guys know, here at our wellness center, you know, we treat people for all kinds of conditions, mental, physical, emotional, spiritual. And it really doesn't matter why someone comes into the center. Inevitably, it takes a change of heart. It takes a change of belief, a change of attitude, and how somebody is living their life for them to really change whatever condition they're trying to treat. And it's really true in a way of the entire world. You know, so many people are looking at the world these days and saying, oh my God, there's so much war and terrorism and violence and all this horrible stuff. And the truth is, actually the world is less violent and there are less wars going on than there have been for centuries. But because we're more aware of it and the media makes us more present to it, there is that yearning for even a higher level of peace, for a higher level of safety. But that safety is not going to come from rules, from laws, from regulations. It's going to come from changing people's consciousness, from changing people's hearts. That is where true evolution, true change happens. It starts first with the heart, and then from the heart, it turns into action, and then those actions turn into experiences, and those experiences move us forward. The world is constantly evolving. Some people may say devolving, but it's also evolving at the same time. And it's up to us individually, those of you listen to the show. If you're listening to the show, there's a reason for it. It means you're drawn to this idea of a more conscious world. And that's what we're, you know, trying to impart. How do we create a more conscious world? It all starts with us. And so I hope that you enjoy our quotes of the day. I hope you get some deeper understanding, some insight from it. And so just remember to kind of chill out. You know, when someone's getting on your nerves, you know, it's because, not because of you, it's because of them. And it's your response to them. And if we can just be a little more patient with people, just show them a little more love and kindness and patience, that will go much further to helping them to work through whatever issues they have than criticizing them, than judging them, than trying to fix them. So thank you for listening, as always, to our fascinating quotes of the day. And they're always so apropos to our guests we have coming on our show. And today's guest, I'm very pleased to introduce you to Todd Planiak.
Planiak, I guess. That's a good word, too. I can change my last name.
You got me on this one. It's a very poly kind of name.
It is a poly name.
Yes, it is. Todd is an accounting and strategic partner at Saks BST, which is one of the top 100 accounting firms.
That's correct.
Wow. And he oversees the nonprofit service group of Saks BST in New Jersey, Manhattan, and Albany. Years in this role has taught him that his natural ability to help leadership, board members, and key stakeholders reach consensus is an effective way to solve fundamental problems. With that, he's founded Fist to Five Advisors, in which he casts a long-term vision for the group. He brainstorms and creates workable ideas as he recruits members to join the movement. He applies his Fist to Five methodology in his role at Saks BST every day. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Todd.
Well, thank you, Sam.
You're welcome. So, and I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to come into studio today. I always love when I can get my guests in studio. A lot of times they're on the phone, and it's just always nicer to make a connection when you're in studio.
It is. Face-to-face, I prefer
that. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm curious, like, as an accountant, you know, most of us do not necessarily think of accounting as one of those more enlightened professions, yet you've kind of taken your role in accounting and kind of moved it into, I would say, sort of a more conscious area of business, which is the not-for-profit and the social responsible areas of accounting. I'm curious, like, what drew you to that? I mean, is this something like you've always been interested in, or is something happened through your journey that really drew you to this end of the business?
I like to say that somehow this is part of my call, the not-for-profit world and also the for-profit world, forming an alliance of converging together.
Ah, I see. And how long now have you, like, been working in this world?
In a not-for-profit world, 25 years.
Oh,
so it's
wow.
been a long time.
Wow.
I did start my career not with not-for-profits.
Mm-hmm.
I did start my career working for companies that were Fortune 500 and a lot of folks on Wall Street. So it's a pretty big difference, I think, Sam, between Wall Street and not-for-profits, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, primarily, I mean, it's a difference of mindset, although a lot of, I would assume, the same principles and the same strategies that you use in Fortune 500 companies can be applied to the nonprofit world, though that's not typically the way we think.
That's true. In fact, not-for-profits have a pretty bad rap, unfortunately.
So do you remember what was the first nonprofit that you worked with, and what kind of drew you to work with that one?
Well, the story goes like this.
I
left a very big firm. I can't say it on the radio. I'm not sure if I have to get their permission first. No, I won't. I'm only kidding. I won't tell you who. It was a very big firm, and that's where I got my experience on Wall Street and working with Fortune 500 companies. I left, and I interviewed at a place called Saks. Actually, it was called Singer Wolf Mangelli at the time. They were recruiting their very first audit manager. Now, Sam, I really prepped for this interview. I prepared before the mirror, and I thought I did really well. In fact, I did. I got the job. I just forgot to ask them one question.
What's an audit manager?
No, I knew what an audit manager was. I forgot to ask them how many audit clients they had. And so they had absolutely one audit client. It was a small, not-for-profit. And the rest of the practice was a tax practice and an accounting practice.
Okay.
And where I came from, I was a seasoned auditor. I didn't know a 1099 from a 1040 from a 1065 to a Route 46. I mean, I didn't know anything like that. And so I basically was thrown into a job. I didn't know what I was doing. I did learn how to do those things, but I got to be honest with you. I hated it. So I decided I was going to bring in a practice.
Okay.
And I tried to go for Wall Street. I tried to go for the Fortune 500. And honestly, they all said no. There was only one group of people who would follow.
Really?
And that was the not-for-profits. So the not-for-profits were loyal to me in the beginning. So I owe my allegiance to my whole career because they actually let me have a shot.
Wow, that's amazing. So, you know, I always like to say, you know, the universe will have its way with you, whether you want it to or not.
That's absolutely true.
So it's kind of like you went into this job, you didn't really know what you were getting yourself in for. And even though you wanted to go in a different direction, it was almost like it was blocked to you. And so really where the universe wanted you to serve and use your genius were the not-for-profits.
It pulled me in, Sam. You know, I was trying to get out, but it pulled me back in.
Wow. That's fascinating. Fascinating. Cool. Very cool. Okay. We're going to take our first commercial break.
Okay.
And when we come back, let's talk a little bit about like how that developed and like what brought you to develop this Fist to Five Advisors and kind of where that sort of all stemmed from. Okay.
I'm all game.
Wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. My guest this hour is Todd
Poliniak or Polinak or Pladiak, apparently.
And we will be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
What are the latest travel trends? How can travel be a part of your overall health and wellness plan? This is William Paris, lifestyle travel consultant, and your host on Travel and Wellness Today. Join me on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time for travel chat, travel tips, and travel news updates. That's on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
We'll be right back. And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking all about nonprofits today with Todd Poliniak. All right. So Todd, so you went to this new accounting firm, and by hook or by crook, you ended up only working with nonprofits, doing audit work. Initially, you said like you couldn't stand doing all the 999s.
It's all the tax work that the accounting firm did. I hated it.
Yeah. But I would assume since you're now working a whole lot with nonprofits, that over time, something about the people you were servicing really got to you.
Oh, yes, for sure. You know, I think that it was a natural call in my life because I believe in social impact. I believe in you do well when you do good. So it was kind of a marriage made in heaven, I guess.
Okay. And so over the years of doing that auditing work, how did that auditing work turn into something more, what you've now coined the Fist to Five Advisors?
So here's what happened, Sam. We found that not-for-profits really were open, that's the first point, open to learning. So we started a bunch of seminars to not-for-profits, and we eventually, at one point, at Sachs BST, named it. And then it developed something even more, which I'll tell you about in a moment. But it started out basically not-for-profits gathering together and having breakfast. They do like to eat like us.
That's
coffee.
Good to know.
And I would do the training. I would do the teaching. I would try to make it fun and creative. I am apparently.
Let me just ask you, what size nonprofits did you work with? Were they smaller nonprofits, larger nonprofits?
When we started, they were small. Now we have not-for-profits of all sizes, all dimensions.
Okay, cool. So they enjoyed your training?
They enjoyed my training because I would make it creative. I am a very creative accountant. I don't know. I think that might be an oxymoron.
Isn't that an
oxymoron? Not sure.
I don't know about that.
I'm usually not taken as an accountant. That's usually people don't think I am.
Though, so, you know, whenever I mention the term creative accounting, you know, people get a little bit worried.
It sounds
worried
like
they're fixing the
might
books or something.
Be, yeah. Like Enron or something like that. Not in the sense that I'm creative and an accountant. How's that?
That's okay. Creative and accountant.
Right.
Okay. Not two terms we normally put together. Okay, so you were having these working groups and I guess having different nonprofits coming together while you were training.
And then we said, you know what? This stuff doesn't apply just to not-for-profits. It applies to for-profits. It applies to everybody. So we began to change our format so that we would talk about topics that would be for any business.
Can you give us an example of one or two?
Leadership.
Okay.
I think leadership applies to both not-for-profits and for-profits.
Absolutely.
Social media. I think that you use it, don't you, Sam?
Oh, just a wee
so
bit. We have somebody in studio actually tweeting live for us right now.
Branding. It applies to both not-for-profits and for-profits. In fact, the person who actually I interviewed for branding was the company that did the branding for Dunkin' Donuts. I don't remember. What's the brand for Dunkin' Donuts now? If you don't remember, he hasn't done a really good job. On the go or something like
that. Everybody loves Dunkin' or something.
Something like that. Whatever. But anyway, we've changed it up. And then we got the impression, well, not only does this really apply, but maybe not-for-profits and for-profits should be talking to each other. So now we've changed a format that we call this moving towards a movement or convergence, where we interview both a not-for-profit and a for-profit at our events.
Interesting. Absolutely. And there's actually been like a lot of changes over the years, even in just structuring organizations.
That's right.
Now there's this new, relatively new type of entity called a B Corp, which is...
Benefit Corporation, yeah.
Right, which is kind of like... almost a hybrid in some ways.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and then there's another one too, a 3LC or something. I thought there was another type of entity that's also like
there's There's a whole bunch of things that are happening, and that's what we like to speak about at Fist to Five, because we believe the world is changing. In fact, we believe it's radically changing.
Oh, yeah.
And Sam, I'm going to tell you, with the generation that's behind us, I don't know how old you are, but you don't look like a millennial.
No, okay, I'm not a millennial.
Well, the millennials are changing up the way business is going to be done, both now and in the future.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And we change is one of the things we talk quite a lot about on this show. And you know, how change is happening in all aspects of life, in our personal lives, in our business lives, in our spiritual lives. Absolutely. And the change is happening more rapidly than it has ever happened
before. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
It's like a roller coaster.
Yeah. Yeah. And from what Monty Taylor, the astrologer who does the show right before this one, Living Consciously, says, we're in for a few more years of pretty rapid change. We've got, you know, quite a while to go. It's not going to end anytime soon.
That's okay with me.
Yeah.
I like change.
Absolutely. Okay. So where did this term Fist to Five come from?
Okay. Let's talk about what Fist to Five is.
Okay.
And that's the
that's
best
a good question.
That's what is Fist to Five?
Look at this guy. He's taking over the interview.
Sorry,
already.
I'm taking over the interview. I do have a tendency of doing that. So I like to say that when people say, what is Fist to Five? I like to say, well, what is love?
Mm.
Because, I mean, love could be defined many different ways, right,
Absolutely.
Sam?
Absolutely.
So Fist to Five, I would say, can be defined in many different ways, the way that we would use it.
Mm-hmm.
Fist to Five is a process.
Okay.
We call that building consensus.
Okay.
Fist to Five is a movement, which I will say is convergence.
Okay.
And Fist to Five advisors are some really smart, hip accountants who are looking to help companies, not-for-profits and for-profits, to achieve their full potential by focusing on what matters most. So those are the three ways of using Fist to Five.
Okay.
As a process, I think you may be aware of it. If we were in a room and we wanted to come to a point where we had to make a decision after we laid out all of the different options, a person putting up a fist means they're totally against the decision.
Okay.
A two means I'm not quite convinced yet. Keep on talking to me. A three is I'm ready to move forward, even though I'm not all in, but I'm going to move forward with you.
Okay.
And a five means that you're all in. So that's it as a process. And we use that, Sam, all the time. You use it in your life. Everyone here in this room uses it. It's basically achieving consensus.
Gotcha. So it's achieving consensus both within an organization and potentially between organizations.
And also within yourself. You ever have a debate within yourself and you have to say, am I at a fist or a five? But it's also a movement.
What do you mean a movement?
Okay, so here's the idea of the movement. We really believe that there is a movement taking place, and we want to be part of getting folks on board with that movement.
Okay.
We believe that not-for-profits need to behave more like businesses.
Mm.
And we also believe that businesses or for-profits should be more socially conscious.
Absolutely.
And we see a converging of the two coming together so that in the future you're going to find both of them behaving a lot more alike than different.
Yeah. You know, I had a conversation once with a gentleman I met at a networking group whose son had like just graduated college. And we were talking about, you know, is it tough for them with the job market and stuff? And he said, yeah. But he said also that a lot of like his son and his son's friends, like they would not work for companies that they felt were not aligned
with
their values.
That's right.
So they were all like looking and like maybe doing some part-time jobs and then starting businesses on the side because they wanted to work in environments that were aligned with their values, that were more socially conscious. So it's almost like these organizations that are unconscious are not attracting the new talent that's coming out. So they're going to have to evolve or go extinct.
One third of the workforce is millennials. One third.
Wow,
I'm telling you, it's changing. And I do predict that a time will come when a not-for-profit is not going to be seen the same way as it's seen today.
Yeah.
And neither will for-profits. The world is changing. I happen to think it's actually a good thing.
Oh, I absolutely think it's a good thing. Absolutely. So how do you help? What's the process for helping people to sort of change that mindset? If I'm working at some big for-profit company, mm-hmm. and you want me to learn to be sort of more socially conscious and to, you know, work with a nonprofit or learn from a nonprofit, how do you help somebody to I don't want to say reverse, but to transform the mindset into one that's more in that kind of alignment?
Well, first, like anything else, you have to want to change.
Absolutely.
And you have to, and when it's a for-profit company, mm-hmm. The stakeholders, whoever the stakeholders are, mm-hmm. must believe that it's more valuable to become socially sustainable,
right.
than to remain. In fact, the I know we may talk a little bit later about mm-hmm. Tony Truesdale, mm-hmm. And the vitamin shop. His story is that he came into that company. He basically turned that company around because they were focused, and he'll say this, on mm-hmm. making money.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they were actually losing money. When he was able to focus them on their mission, that's when they started making money. And now the vitamin shop is a public company.
Wow. And what about the challenges for helping sort of nonprofits think more business-like? Because that's a challenge too, but
that's
in a different direction.
And again, it's trying to help a group of people who are used to getting that regular check-in from the government realize that that's going to soon stop. There's a lot of changes that are on board.
Yeah.
You know, we like to call Fist of Five Advisors catalytic coaching. Mm. So we energize people to look at where they are and how things could be changed, including the not-for-profits.
Yeah. Because I know that nonprofits now are looking much more for, like, on the impact that having.
And being
also a lot more creative in how they reach donors and volunteers and how do they get them involved. And not even that, but even just their boards and getting their boards more creative and more involved with what they're doing.
Sharon Duke, who I'm going to be interviewing tomorrow, who is the CEO of the AIDS Service Center of New York City, mm-hmm. I would say is a great example of taking a not-for-profit and applying strategic entrepreneurial for-profit endeavors. And that's really where not-for-profits need to go. They need to think differently.
Wow. Okay, great. Okay, I'll tell you what, we're going to take another commercial break. When we come back, maybe we can give our audience some examples. Like you spoke about Vitamin Shop, maybe we can give them some other examples of on the nonprofit side of what kind of shifts and changes in the mindset helped like nonprofits to fulfill their mission more effectively and the impact that had.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. And of course, if anyone would like to call in and ask your own questions, please feel free. Our call-in number is 877-480-4120. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. So, Todd, we've been talking about sort of how you've changed, helped to change mindsets of for-profit companies to what they can learn from nonprofits, and some examples of that. What about some examples of, you know, how a nonprofit organization or leader has changed the way they operated to be more effective in their mission?
I would... just to back up a little bit before I answer that question, because I think it's an important point to make.
I'm taking over the interview.
Okay. Yes, I'm a very bad interviewee.
Well, one more time, and that's it. You're going to have your own show.
I'm going to have my own show. but before I answer that, I do want to use the example of Candace Leitner. Candace, if you remember Candace, if any of you remember not being able to drink when you're 18, it's because of Candace. She basically was the person responsible for having the law changed, so it was 21. Right. She's also the reason, by the way, that your license is laminated. I don't know if in New York it's laminated, because she basically uncovered that through her 16-year-old daughter. They went to Texas, and she was able to alter her daughter's license. And they went to a string of different liquor stores and picked up cases and cases of beer. I don't know if you remember the scene, but there are photographs of her and her daughter with these cases of beer. So because of that, that's why the licenses are laminated. So she's a phenomenal woman.
Wow.
And what she would tell you, that in spite of all the great things that she did, she had a really lousy accountant at the time, and it wasn't me. And probably the first thing I need to say is you need to have the right strategic partners as a not-for-profit.
Right.
You need to have not only an accountant or a CPA firm that gets it, you need to have one that really cares.
Right.
If they don't really care about you and the mission, if they're just there to produce the product, they're not going to provide the fist to five advisor ideas that... Mm-hmm. So I just want to start by saying that.
Right, right. So, no, absolutely. When you start any business, whether it's a for-profit or not-for-profit business, it's you absolutely have to have a team around you. You can't do it all by yourself and do it all internally. So absolutely, you need advisors like a strategic accountant who gets what you're doing and whose heart is in the right place, not just their accounting skills.
That's correct. So just to give you maybe one or two examples, one of the things that not-for-profits are really struggling with now is the fact that they don't receive enough funding from the government or even their donors. So they're looking to outside sources to create revenue.
Right.
I have a not-for-profit right now. Their focus is on servicing veterans, and they basically receive most of their money from the government. They're looking at all kinds of different opportunities to get into a for-profit venture. But what I'm advising them as I'm working with them is that they need to go into something that equates to their DNA.
Right.
When anybody gets into something, Sam, that they don't know and it doesn't fit with who they are, they're going to fail.
Absolutely.
So they're looking at all different types of strategies. They haven't settled on one. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, one idea is actually to be part of a franchise that is run by the vets. So, because we know that that's a pretty hot topic right now. Looking for a company, a for-profit venture that works well with your mission is something that folks are really considering.
So it's really kind of pairing up, you know, these for-profits and not-for-profits together that are not just any for-profit and not-for-profit, but two that really are aligned either in their mission or in their values.
Correct. And so that's what I'm saying, that we're seeing the for-profit world that wants to do good, to make social impact, and a not-for-profit world who's already geared that way but doesn't really do well in business sometimes come together to become something that we call Fist to Five.
I see. Are there certain industries or certain sectors that are in the for-profit world that are more open that you've seen to this kind of strategic partnership?
It really depends, and I've seen all different types. You know, okay. What? It's not. I don't want to say it's industry. I think it's the mindset of the stakeholders.
Okay.
And so, if the stakeholder really cares about social impact, mm-hmm. they're going to find a way to do it. I mean, mm-hmm. consider Newman's Own. I interviewed Tom Indido, who was the mm-hmm. former CEO of Newman's Own. Mm-hmm. That is a product. I don't know if you've ever bought their popcorn
or
their
sauce.
Spaghetti sauce is good. I bet you will buy their product because not only because you know that it's 100% of it's going to charity, and it is, but it's also great quality.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But the vision of Newman himself and wanting to really give back mm-hmm. made it work. That's why, I think it's wrong to start. This is just Todd now. I think it's wrong to say what segments. I would say who are the people who are willing to make this work.
Okay. So it's really across... Everything. It's really
anything
more about
work.
The individuals involved.
Right. The groups involved, the stakeholders.
Involved,
that's
right,
why there's
right.
hope. Because of the millennials, because I believe the millennials, right. even though some people talk poorly of them, I think there's hope with the millennials because they do want to see social impact.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the people who talk poorly about them just don't understand them. And,
that's true.
And that, you know, I just heard Monty in a show before talking about how, like, the millennials are now in their 30s.
Yeah.
You know, I think people forget, like everyone thinks of millennials as like 20-something-year-olds. They've been around for a while.
They're getting older.
In their 30s. Yeah,
they're getting older.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what have you found to be like the biggest challenges in trying to bring these two different worlds together?
Oh, that's a great question, Sam. I'm glad you asked it.
Okay, good. We're going to get some juicy stuff now.
Okay, I don't know if you'll get juicy stuff. You'll just get all my frustration. I don't know. Do you like that?
Yes. So,
here's the deal. And the not-for-profit side, I think that not-for-profits only see for-profits as revenue sources, i.e. donors. So yes, I'm really interested in you, Mr. For-Profit, mm-hmm. because you can give me money. They don't understand that there's something more that the for-profit can give a not-for-profit in ideas, in strategic leadership. And that's why you really need to have the right folks that are part of your governance board in a for-profit.
And that sounds also very one way. I mean, there's something that the not-for-profit can contribute in a way to the for-profit.
I was just going to get to that.
Beat you to it.
Oh, yes. But this is you're the interviewer. I'm the interviewee. So you get to do that.
Yes. And don't forget that.
I will completely comply, sir, whatever you want me to do. The not-for-profit mm-hmm. actually helps the for-profit world mm-hmm. see the value of social impact. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, the companies that get this right mm-hmm. are going to attract the right employees, the mm-hmm. ones who will be loyal to them, the right customers, and I believe also will have a more positive bottom line than mm-hmm. those who don't see it. Mm-hmm. But it's not always intuitive to a business owner
right.
to be socially conscious. It's
right.
like, it's about the money. It's about
right.
the money. No,
right.
it's about making a difference. It's
right.
about making a difference in the world.
Right. Do you have any examples maybe of some well-known names, some well-known brands that are socially conscious and how that's really helped the brand?
Well, I guess one example is Kickstarter.
Kickstarter okay.
just announced, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, that it's no longer going to be a for-profit, the generic for-profit.
Oh.
It's going to be a B corporation.
A benefit corp. Wow.
So they actually said that it's not just about them making a lot of money. They mm-hmm. also want to change the world. So that's an example of, and I guess when you're looking at B corporations,
mm-hmm.
there's a whole slew of them. Just Google B corporations, you'll see
right.
Ben and Jerry's is a B corporation. Mm. I think we can go through the list.
Yeah.
But see, for me, my heart is this. I don't like it. And okay, so I'm high and mighty. Forgive me. I don't like it when for-profits just act like they're socially conscious, but they're only doing it in order to get publicity
right.
or because that's a box to check off.
Right.
You know when someone's faking it or if they're really genuine, right?
Yeah. I remember like when green became so popular, there was that term called greenwashing. Companies pretended like, oh, yeah, we care about the environment. We're doing this or that. And it was really like just a
It was garbage.
Token, yeah. It
yeah.
Wasn't really having
fake. Fakers. They're yeah, fakers.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Out those fakers.
Get out.
I also noticed that a lot of organizations are being also sort of more socially conscious to their employees. Because
yes.
I actually think that's where things start.
Yes.
Like if you can't treat your employees better, you know, how are you being more socially conscious? And like I heard somebody recently mention how an organization like Netflix just now has a policy of employees can have as many vacation days as they want.
Wow.
You know, and that this is now a new trend that they're, I think Richard Branson started instituting
sure.
that policy,
oh,
that
yeah.
several more enlightened organizations started doing that because they realized, you know, we're no longer sort of a 9-to-5 society because, you know, people are accessing their email and texts, you know, any time of the day or night. So it's this whole idea of like, you know, you're 2-3 weeks off, 4 weeks off per year. Doesn't really make sense because we're working so much more. So and you know, we're away on vacation, still sometimes you have to be in touch with your organization.
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Treating your employees the right way. Well, here's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
If you say that you're a socially conscious or responsible or socially sustainable company mm-hmm. and you are not treating your employees right, then you're just lying. It's
right,
not true.
Right, yeah.
That is, I think, the first place to look in a company.
Right,
and
right.
I would say you might be surprised, but not all not-for-profits are socially sustainable.
I'm sure. Because it also depends upon the organization and why they
Correct.
Got started. I mean, there have been a lot of scandals in the nonprofit world that really revealed how, you know, the executive committee or the board were like just looking to, you know, get as much as they could out of it and weren't really as focused on their mission.
Correct.
Yeah. So I guess that's a kind of a good thing now. Things are becoming more transparent. And so we're actually finding out, like in the past, those things could go on for years and years and years
sure.
and no one would know. And now it's like things are getting outed very, very quickly.
Especially with technology.
Yeah.
My goodness. What you do 10 minutes from now will be broadcast all over the world. Or maybe it's being broadcast right now, right?
Right as you're doing it. Yeah, that delay factor is not really there. Yeah. Okay, believe it or not, it's time for us to take our last commercial break of the show. When we come back, why don't we talk about, you know, some of the initiatives you're working on now and what's kind of coming up.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
We could talk about
yes.
tomorrow.
Talk
okay,
about tomorrow.
Great.
So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Dude. Transforming Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com. It's the Dudes of Disruption.
The Dudes of Disruption is a new show geared toward the global tribe of disruptors who are committed to interrupting the automatic ways of their lives so they go out and leave their mark on the world powerfully.
Consider every Tuesday night, 8 to 9 Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com, forever disrupted. The Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatic.
Dude.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
And welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour. So, Todd, what's next for Fist for Five?
Okay, so Fist to Five is having a big event tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
October 6th. That way you know what date it is.
Yes. We like to do things by date. Because people might hear this like 3 months from now and they'll think tomorrow.
And if they show up, they're going to be very disappointed.
Yeah.
For sure. At the Vanderbilt Suites at 8 a.m. You can show up if you like.
Okay. I'll be there.
You'll be there. That's right. You're going to be there, Sam.
I'm going to be there.
So I am getting an opportunity to have a conversation with two individuals who both have phenomenal companies. Well, one... Actually, Tony Truesdale just retired from it, but still, it's a phenomenal company. Tony is the former CEO of the Vitamin Shoppe, and Sharon Duke is the CEO and president of the AIDS Service Center of New York City. And we're going to have a conversation about how they took their companies, which started, in Sharon's case, zero, and Tony's case, the Vitamin Shoppe at the time was losing money, took him to phenomenal levels of success and the principles that they used to get them there. So you have a not-for-profit, Sharon's company, and a for-profit, Tony's company, talking to each other about how they should think alike.
Wonderful, wonderful. And as I understand it, I mean, this event is not just informational, it's also an opportunity for people in different places to meet each other.
That's right. Actually, the first part is a breakfast. So they get. I know people in New York City like to network.
Yes.
Because that way you can get some coffee and some, you know, runny eggs, but our eggs are actually better. And some hard bagels, but ours are soft.
If I'm getting up that early, I sure hope they're...
You need to get some food. So you need to get some coffee, that's for sure, or tea, whatever.
I'm a tea drinker.
Okay, that's okay. We won't hold that against you.
Okay, good. Yeah, I always get really annoyed when I go to like networking events and they only have coffee.
What's with those people?
I don't know. Like,
that's not that's not being conscious.
That's absolutely not. It's very discriminatory against the tea drinkers.
That's right.
So if people want to find out about this or register for it, is there a website?
They can go to the Fist to Five website. That's www.fistofistofive.com and go on the event page. And I know the specifics are listed there.
Okay, wonderful.
That's probably the easiest way.
Right. Okay. All right, wonderful. So I'm curious, where do you see your work kind of leading you in the next 5 to 10 years?
Wow. 5 to 10 years?
I know. It's a lifetime, doesn't it? It feels like it these days.
Well, so I'm not quite sure, honestly, where we're all going with Fist to Five, but I do believe that it's beginning to catch on.
Right.
It is having a direct impact upon the folks at Saks BST, which is my firm.
Right.
It's also influencing a whole group of strategic partners. So I wouldn't be surprised if one day, this is my hope, that you'll actually be, you know, that center column on the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
That's usually about good stuff, not the bad stuff.
Right.
I would hope to see Fist to Five or Fist to Five Advisors spoken about being a national influencer to the not-for-profit and the for-profit world.
Wow. Cool. Have you had any experience sort of on the international level with NGOs and like, are things like so dramatically different here in the United States as compared to overseas?
It depends on what country you're talking about. I have clients that are international clients. You know, it's interesting, Sam. I don't think we as Americans realize how differently we think from other people in the world.
Yeah.
At least that's what the people in Europe tell me. I don't know. Maybe they think just like us, but I've had them tell me often, you Americans, this is the way you think. It's like, oh, okay, whatever. but as far as the what works in a not-for-profit in the U.S. and what will work overseas, I can say, and this is my, again, Todd's opinion, I think the two can certainly apply. There's different governance issues in an international than American or U.S. base, but they have the same struggles, but maybe in a different context.
Gotcha. Do you see things kind of coming together more in your crystal ball? Do you think like American nonprofits and international nonprofits will you know, how they work together will become more similar in the future, or do you think it'll stay pretty different?
I guess I can only answer that question if I can answer the question, do we believe that things in the United States and things in the rest of the world will be coming more together? I hope so, because I think that we're no longer a local community. We're a, right. a global community.
Absolutely.
So we need to learn how to work across the oceans.
Right. I mean, just economically, we're an international economy.
Absolutely.
There's, I don't think there's an economy in the entire world that's purely a local economy, and that anything, you know, anything major happens in one country, the ripple effects are going to be felt in the rest
Absolutely.
Of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
We do need to learn to play together much more nicely.
Yes, and we can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What really keeps inspiring you to keep doing what you're doing?
Wow. Okay, so there's a few things that keep me going. Okay. One thing that keeps me going is the younger generation.
Ah.
See, I have four millennial kids.
Oh,
okay, so yeah. So they, and two of them are out of the house and two are still in the house.
Okay.
But in spite of that, I have tons of young people mm-hmm. who I work with in Saks BST.
Mm-hmm.
And I just see that there's so much more that can be done in the next generation.
Mm.
However, I'll put a caveat. I'll put myself out there, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
The next generation has energy.
Mm-hmm.
They are smart. They are mm-hmm. technologically, they blow us away.
Yeah, yeah.
But they also need to have the right folks guiding them
yeah.
and encouraging
Absolutely.
Them. You know, I had a CEO I spoke to, a not-for-profit, actually today saying, mm-hmm. I don't know if the millennials are going to actually want to go into not-for-profits because it's really, really hard to make money in a not-for-profit. And it seems like the millennial generation wants to both do good but also
right.
make money.
Right.
I think there's a way to get there. I think that
Absolutely.
We may have to restructure the way things are done,
mm-hmm.
but I have a lot of hope in the next generation.
Mm.
Call me an idealist, but I really do believe that.
You're an idealist.
And
I
thank
love
you.
It.
But that's what keeps me going. It's
yeah.
it's there's five core values for Saks BST. You want to hear them?
Yeah.
So the five core values, my partner Josh Shinetti worked with a group of people recently.
Mm-hmm.
This tells you what Saks BST is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Legacy,
mm-hmm.
fortitude,
mm-hmm.
energy,
mm-hmm.
impact,
mm-hmm.
and intellectual curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
All five of those core values are expressed through Fist of Five and Fist of Five Advisors.
I see. And I'm just kind of curious, at Saks BST, like how large is the nonprofit end of the business compared to the for-profit? Or is it smaller, bigger, larger, or same?
The not-for-profit is a good size portion of the practice, but it's mm-hmm. it's by far the a smaller portion.
Smaller
I mean,
okay.
probably we are about 250 people. We're three offices.
Oh, wow.
About $45 million firm. Not-for-profits probably comprise 15%. Of
okay.
the not-for-profit practices, or the practices not-for-profits. So it's not a large portion, but it does make a big difference in the
right.
firm.
It sounds like it may not be large in terms of the numbers, but it's large in terms of the impact and the way you
Correct.
Think about what you do.
It really does. I think the let me put it to you this way. I think I can support the fact that Saks BST is a socially sustainable for-profit because of the way that we service our not-for-profits.
Mm-hmm.
And even the outgrowth of Fist of Five shows that we really do care
right.
about
right.
not just making money, but also seeing mm-hmm. significant change take place in the world.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So at the end of the day, when you're going home, how do you know, like, you've had an impact? How do you know, like, what benchmarks do you use that make you feel like, I did good today?
Well, sometimes I don't. But I mean,
okay.
Sometimes I'm definitely going home and saying, I don't know if I made an impact. I don't always know that I'm making impact right away, but here's how I know. When I see my clients succeed
mm-hmm.
in what they're trying to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I've been directly involved, whether it's even on the technical side in the audit or the tax work
right.
or the special projects, I see that they're changing lives. I know that I'm part of that. I've mm-hmm. sowed into another group of people that have changed people's
mm-hmm.
lives. And that brings a warmth to my heart.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Todd. Thank you again for coming into the studio
today.
It's been great having you here. Again, the website for Fist of Five is?
www.fistofive.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. And and I wish you much luck in your dreams and visions, and maybe okay. We'll have you back in here again one day when you can announce some big accomplishments.
You bet.
Yeah,
you bet.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So, everybody, that wraps up today's show. We will be back next week. Next week, I'm having actually a returning guest, Teresa Desgrobois, who has just come out with a new book, Mass Influence, which is a wonderful book we're going to talk about gifting influence and how by serving others that we can actually have more influence in the world. Very much looking forward to having her back on the show. It'll be a wonderful show. Kevin Barbaro is still on break. He'll be back later in the year. So we'll be back broadcasting again tomorrow, Tuesday evening, starting at 8:00 with the Dudes of Disruption. We hope you'll tune in then, and we will talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you on a path of consciousness or spirit? Is personal or spiritual empowerment important to you? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And I am here to answer your questions and bring you experts in all areas of life to raise your awareness and support you in your evolution. Tune in at my new time, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on www.talkradio.nyc. That's Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Have you ever considered consulting a roadmap when you feel you need help getting to your destination? When the normal path seems blocked, a little help can come in handy when choosing an alternate route. Your natal chart is a map of your potentials. It addresses relationships, finance, business, health, and above all, creativity. Current planetary cycles can either support or challenge your objectives. I'm Montgomery Taylor. If you would like to explore the help of a private astrological reading, please contact me at Monty@MontyTaylor.com. That's Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at MontyTaylor.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.TalkingAlternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at TalkingAlternative.com.
Dude. Transforming Tuesday nights from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com. It's the Dudes of Disruption.
The Dudes of Disruption is a new show geared toward the global tribe of disruptors who are committed to interrupting the automatic ways of their lives so they go out and leave their mark on the world powerfully.
Consider every Tuesday night, 8 to 9 Eastern on TalkingAlternative.com, forever disrupted. The Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatics.
Dude.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.